Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Testing?
Testies?
Testies? 1, 2, 3? I don't know shit about fuck.
I like sucking.
Come on, man.
Legit bad podcast.
He has a legit bad.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Show. We had Conspiracy Kyle on tonight from Conspiracy in the Force. There's too many conspiracies in there.
There's never too many conspiracies. Everything's a conspiracy, so I mean, that makes it the infinity symbol.
After Jen admitted that, you know, she can't look at the world in any form without seeing conspiracies, it's like, there's never going to be too many.
Because
we went over a couple of them. In between tech issues, like usual.
Yeah.
Check out his show. He's available everywhere. He's on Instagram at Conspiracy Kyle with a K. There's only two, though, so it's not the bad ones.
With a K.
With a K. We were going to put this on Rockfin, but like I said, it turned out like dog shit, so it's fine. We'll figure it out. I keep saying that.
Just the audio, not the conversation. Well. Everything was great. The conversation was amazing.
No, it was fun.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to have him back on
soon. He's a cool dude.
Once we figure stuff out.
Yeah. It's all good. Everyone puts up with our audio stuff. It happens.
I know, and I profusely apologize all the time, so I'm sorry for apologizing.
Sorry for saying sorry so much. You sound like me.
I've been hanging out with you too long.
Sorry.
We have Grimerica coming back on Sunday, and then Crow 777 on Monday, and then we're on vacation. So I probably... We're not going to do anything, obviously, next week besides Monday. And then...
We're going to be looking for aliens, though, in Las Vegas. If anyone wants to come hang out in Las Vegas from June 20th to the 23rd, we'll be there looking for aliens. Come find us.
Find them, but not the ones we want. We'll be drunk on the strip walking around and get abducted.
We'll just walk past reptilians and not even know.
Well, if all that shit's right, we won't know it, actually.
That's what I said. We won't even know.
See, I'd say if we saw somebody that
I'll figure it out.
But we're going to see a lot of that because it's fucking Vegas.
We'll never know the difference. We're just going to have to talk to every single person we see and then make our decision.
Yep, definitely alien. We're going to be shit-faced at 2 in the morning and be like, you're an alien, aren't you? I know.
No. Well, maybe.
Anyway, enjoy the show. It's a little bit shorter, especially after I crop it, I'm sure. But go check his show out. He's way better than us. Yeah, don't waste your time here. Listen to him. Anyway, bye.
Bye.
So I'm really big, like, when it comes to video games, obviously Elder Scrolls, and when it comes to movies like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings series, I like the fantasy because that's just as far out there as sci-fi, so it's not like it's any fucking better, but I was going to tell you guys, Joe and Jen, I walked into the Power Market on Lake Boulevard, and I was wearing my Wolfenstein shirt, and this big old boy that was getting my dip for me, he comes up and he's all, anybody ever take that shirt the wrong way? So, backstory, my shirt, the symbol on it is...
Is it like a Nazi flag?
No, so it's not a Nazi flag. It's the Wolfenstein symbol. So it's kind of a mistranslation because the Wolfenstein symbol stands for Wolfenstein, which is Castle of the Wolf. It's the castle you go to when you're in prison with the Nazis. So it's their symbol. However, it's also the symbol of the franchise. And the franchise is that you play an American Marine who blows away Nazis. So... He goes, does anybody ever take that shirt wrong? And I was like, not yet. But for the most part, people don't even know what the fuck it is. And that's kind of where I wear it. Well, this guy, this old, old bastard, he had to have been in like his 60s or 70s. He takes a step towards me from behind the line and goes, oh, what? That's not a white supremacist shirt.
Oh my god!
I kind of went like this at him for a second, and then he goes, "I'm just fucking with you. I know it's not." I'm like, "Oh shit!" I was awesome. Like, "You got me good, man." I said, "I yeah, no, it's not." I said, "I'm a fan of killing Nazis. If you're not a fan of killing Nazis, then we're gonna have a problem. But that's why I wear the shirt. I'm a fan of that." And he's like, "Yeah, no, I got what you're talking about." I'm like, next time I came in there, I was talking to the guy about it, and I go, "Dude, I'm surprised that old bastard knew what that was." He goes, "Dude, I thought he was serious for a second." Like, no shit.
You can never be too. You can never be too careful anymore.
No, you can't. I'm a white male, and I'm straight. I'm wearing a Wolfenstein shirt.
Basically, just existing is a crime.
The most racist. Yeah. You're the most racist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
Badge of honor, right?
Blonde hair and blue eyes. Ugh. Fuck you.
So anyway, I'm Joe. This is Jen, and that's Ben over there. And Kyle obviously is your name. I won't ask for your last name. We'll keep that quiet since you're in your face.
Kyle is his last name. Conspiracy is his first name.
Conspiracy is my first name with a K. It's really weird. My parents are really messed up. Yeah.
Your last name wouldn't be Kent with a K, would it?
No.
Okay, because then it would be KKK.
Right. Well, you know, I wanted to make it like the Conspiracy Kyle podcast, but like no, you can't. You can't. The alliteration is there, but it's all wrong.
That's funny. Awesome.
You are a Kyle though, so there's that.
I am a Kyle.
Do you drink Monster?
I don't drink Monster.
Do you punch
drywall?
Yeah.
I don't punch drywall either.
Oh, then we're good.
Right. But I mean I might as well just do it anyways, since I may be in that camp.
Remind me to bring this up after it starts, or we can do it before it starts so it's not part of the episode. Have you guys seen the trailer for this new movie that they're coming out with called Karen?
No. Oh my god.
No shit. Yes. So they're coming out with a movie called Karen, and the whole basis is that she has a black family moving next door and she's a racist white bitch. That is the premise of the movie. And it's literally, the name of the movie is called Karen, which is obviously a play on the euphemism of somebody being a Karen or a Kyle, but they're making her a racist white bitch.
And it's made by BET.
Yeah, it's made by BET.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so fucking racist.
So should we be making a movie about Jamal that just does murders all the time? Like,
no, we'll just call it Trayvon Martin.
Oh, or Jesse Smollett.
Seriously.
But yeah, I'm like, well, then we should come out with a movie called Kyle and just make it about the euphemism for Kyle. Only that would actually probably, no matter how you tried to pitch it, would probably end up not coming out the right way.
No, probably not. I will star, if I need to star in it, I will do it because I have the inherent Kyle abilities. I'll do it. I mean, I'll take the bullet.
Yeah. As himself.
I'm feeling a little sheetrock punchy.
This is actually a documentary.
The cover for the movie is just the four posts and roof of a house and all the drywalls on the outside with like littered monster cans, and he's wearing a tap out shirt. Oh my god, that'd be so good.
God. Oh my god. Ooh.
Oh, this is a thriller, a crime thriller movie.
Right.
So
right. Because she tries to kill them.
Wow.
Because she doesn't like them.
This is going to get like a 2 on IMDb. Like, so no one's going to like this fucking movie.
Oh, I guarantee people will. Everybody that they made
they're
the movie
gonna
for.
They're going to watch it, but it's going to suck.
Yeah, no, watch the trailer.
Yeah,
the
trailer.
She's like, she's meeting her friend, and her friend's
the
like,
little girl.
How's the new neighbors? And she's like, they're black. Like, nobody talks like this.
No, and then the little girl who knows the Karen is talking to the black neighbors, and the black lady's like helping her like pick up something off the sidewalk or whatever. I don't remember that exact context, but she goes, is she okay? And she goes, she just doesn't like black people. And the lady to the little white girl goes, well, I'm black. And she goes, yeah, she doesn't like you either. That's all in the trailer.
Wow.
That is all in a 2 minute and like 17 second trailer. It's
that's fucking disgusting.
Propaganda much?
I know.
A bitch.
So how did you start this show? What gave you the idea? Because I got to say, that is a brilliant idea for a show, Star Wars conspiracies, because with all the, I mean, we talk about it from time to time, but all the symbology in movies and like pre-programming, that's got to be one of the top 10 because it's so popular and it's got such a following that there's got to be, I mean, obviously, you know, you do a fucking podcast about that. But what popped the idea into your head? Was it the Star Wars pre-programming that made you do this show?
Yes, it was actually the will of the Force actually made me do it. I'm actually not controlling my own. I'm not controlling my own body right now. I'm actually being controlled by someone far away. But no,
I like it.
I got into conspiracies kind of like late 2019 before like all the really, really crazy shit kicked off. And then I started looking at some of the movies, especially like the prequel movies, which a lot of people hate. But like you really start to see how like you can see how a government like turns evil. But it's like really small baby steps that will get you to that point. But they kind of lay out like the path of like, hey, you want to do a totalitarian government? Like, here's what you do. You get these sides fighting against each other. You consolidate power. You do this and that. I'm like, it almost doesn't seem like a Star Wars movie when you lay it out that way, but that's what they get into. So when I kind of started, you know, when my eyes were, I guess, more open to the conspiracy type things, that's when I went back and rewatched the movies. I'm like, holy shit, there's a lot of stuff in here, a lot of parallels.
Oh yeah. I feel left out because I've never watched it. And I know our listeners are Star Wars fans. I've heard from plenty of them and bashing me for not being one. But I know the general storyline of it. And it's, like I said, like the Joseph Campbell-esque, you know, hero's journey. Mm-hmm. I could see that. Like, I'm going to end up watching it one of these days. But it's a long commitment. There's so many of them. But what's the thing that stuck out the most to you about... not really conspiracy-ish, but just kind of like that, what you were talking about.
Really how, so in the prequel movies, it kind of shows how the Emperor in the, you know, the original Star Wars trilogy goes from being like a senator to like the president of the universe. And you kind of, if anybody's seen like that House of Cards show with, you know, piece of shit, Kevin Spacey, it's the same kind of thing, right? Like he does a lot of evil deeds to get there. That people don't really realize until it's too late. You know, that's the kind of thing I thought about it. And he has all these machinations throughout that prequel trilogy, doing things like for noble causes, like, hey, we need to start an army because there's an opposing army gonna kill us all. So we have to go fight the bad guys with this army. But sure enough, that army ends up turning on the people it was meant to help. So like things like that is very, very, very suspect. When you think about our world, especially like when you talk about things like useful idiots, like you look back in Nazi Germany where he had all these brown shirts going around committing all these crimes, you know, just stirring up all this ruckus and whatnot. And then after they accomplished their purpose, he created the SS, had them come wipe out the other guys. So you see that in Star Wars too. The Emperor, he's got all these cronies working for him. And at the end of the day, he wipes all them out because they know too much. You know, it's a tale as old as time when you talk about what communist doctrines, what they end up doing to the people that even are going along with the plan the whole time. Like, you know, you see a lot of these people, woke idiots out there right now. They don't realize like they're going to be the ones with the bull in their head, just as much of all the rest of us who are opposing it. They're just, you know, too blind to see that.
Well, they're expendable.
Virtue signaling, raging on behalf of the machine.
And what they do is I've heard this a million times, is like, Democrats and their supporters, the supporters don't realize that the Democrats are not for them. They just tell them that they're for them so that they get their votes to get them where they need to be. It's the idea of always burning the level below you every time the problem rises to the next level. The person above you burns you, and now when it's your problem, the person above you will burn you. It rolls up like that until it's at the tip of the government, which so far, you know, people have done a pretty good job in our government of keeping it at the lower levels.
Right, detached capstone of the pyramid. You can't get up that far, and that's the that's the one, you know.
Oh yeah, and I mean Biden
shit downhill.
You know, Biden's all his campaign promises, what he was going to do for BLM, what he was going to do for student loan debt, all this stuff, and people just ate it up. Oh, that's great. It's great because he said that on a Thursday in a park with three people. you're gonna trust him. Wow, that you're really a dumbass.
But like every other president who makes promises and doesn't keep them, like what the fuck makes him different?
It's the same people that were the whole time Trump was in office saying, you can't trust the president, you can't trust the system, the system's rigged, you know, the elections were fucked in 2016. It's the exact same people that are now saying, no, the elections were perfectly fine, and Biden is our president, and you should get over it. It happens every 4 years, basically. You know, every time there's a flip-flop, it's it literally flops back the other way. It's maddening. And
I would
I don't
like
know
to
where...
point out with that, though, did you notice that when Biden became president, other than January 6th, which, let's be honest, that's the only one kind of like black spot, we weren't burning down the cities like they were in 2016 when Trump got elected. There weren't weeks and weeks and weeks of rioting when Biden got put in place. There were some idiots that gave, you know, that side a bad look. And of course, that's who the media capitalized on. But there weren't major riots that the media was saying, well, they're just worried. They're just worried. That wasn't what was happening.
They just need a safe place for them to cry in. Just leave them alone.
And nobody got ran over in the Dodge Challenger. So that's a win.
Yeah. That we know of.
And Trump didn't do anything crazy. We're not Trump supporters or Biden supporters.
Right.
We're very middle of the road, very third party. Yeah. I hate the dual party system anyway. But Trump was just demonized from the get-go. Like, he was definitely, he did nothing wrong. He was totally a scapegoat. Everything he did was wrong. But Biden acts like a raging buffoon every single time he talks. And you can only find that on... other countries' news channels.
Oh, they torture him.
On,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, they destroy him. Or on, you know, people like us who really pay attention
that
and
watches.
We'll find a clip of it and be like, that was stupid. Did anyone hear that that was the dumbest thing ever and it made no sense? But people are
But at least now we know what his favorite ice cream flavor is. I mean,
chocolate chip.
Chocolate chip. We would not have known that. I mean, that's really deep insights that
very
the media is giving us.
Info.
Yeah.
I just,
yeah, there's,
I
there's
just,
shit burning up around us and they're like, look, here's Biden eating a fucking ice cream
but
cone.
But at least he's not Trump. And it's like, wow, there's
no
it's
mean
so
tweets.
Clear that they're like dangling it in front of you. You have to look away from all of it.
I think my favorite one that I saw from him so far was when he got through his pre-listed list of questions and people to call on for his news report. And as he goes to turn away, somebody calls out a question to him that hadn't been planned. And he looks over at him and then comes back to the microphone and goes, oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble for this. And everybody was like, you're the president. Who are you getting in trouble with?
You're the president of the world.
Right.
Is there,
so many times. Oh, so many times you hear like him saying something, then like in the people in the earpiece, like stop, and he just like, he just freezes.
Oh, it's unreal.
So
he's a real
person. Star Wars?
Yeah, who's Biden in Star Wars?
Yeah, who's have Biden you done in Star Wars?
Have you done these correlations of like modern day people?
I did. So I've kind of changed my story on what I think about Trump. I think this still works. So back like around the election, I had an episode come out, which was, you know, who's Trump and who's Biden. Biden is very easy because it's Jabba the Hutt. I mean, that dude like licks women's faces and shit. And he's a creepy swamp. And he's a creepy swamp creature, right? He's been around forever. He hasn't done shit. He has like this little palace he holds on a backwater bullshit place that nobody gives a fuck about.
But
like,
somehow he made the cast.
Right. And he's just a creepy dude licking people, having sex slaves and shit. Like it's nasty. It's nasty. But like Trump, I had him as like, well, I think I've kind of changed my tone a little bit on it, but you know, the story is that like, you know, he basically gave up everything to run for president, et cetera. So I kind of compared him to someone like Han Solo, right? Who was like out doing his own thing for many, many years. And then he kind of found a noble cause he wanted to go for. So that was kind of the two parallels I've had, but there's probably a better, more devious one for Trump that I didn't think of. But the Biden one was super easy. And also Jar Jar Binks, you know, just a bumbling.
Oh, there you go.
Too.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jar Jar Biden, Jar Jar Binks. I mean, same.
Oh,
same, but different, but still same.
Yeah. That's funny.
I'm trying to think of what Nancy Pelosi would be.
Oh,
I don't know all the characters, like I said. So
there's some ugly ass creatures. So I'll have to go through the books and find some.
Don't do them the justice of giving them a main character. Give them one that like shows up on the screen and gets their head blown off 2 seconds.
I was just
gonna
say, give them one that gets killed.
Who comes into power after Jabba the Hutt dies? Because would that be Kamala Harris? Because I feel like that's what's gonna happen next.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, who's Kamala? Shit.
It would be the person. After they choke out Jabba, who's the Kamala Harris?
Well, okay, here we go. So when he kidnapped Princess Leia, mm-hmm. made her sit there in her little slave outfit. She eventually ends up choking him to death. Right. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, but oh, so she's Kamala Harris?
Leia?
Ooh, yeah, I love that analogy.
But her, you know, being that role, that she just like would have never left that area, right? She's like, nah, I'm just gonna rule this area now. Like, you guys go on, do whatever you want.
Yeah,
Who would Maxine Waters be? The shitty sidekick spokesperson fuck.
Jabba does have a creepy looking tentacle dude that hung out
with
him. The
guy at the front door with the hair.
Yes.
And like the thing,
yes.
The white.
Yeah.
It's so scary. Well, I used to hate that part when I was a kid.
They don't have to match genders either, because you can be whatever you want, you know? So
well,
it doesn't have to be
Obi-Wan
the same.
Kenobi, and he's like, these are not the droids you're looking for or whatever. And then they're like, oh, you can come in. He's like, oh, you'll let us in now.
I meant that guy's scary.
Yeah.
I meant to tell you guys that too. Actually, she does kind of look like a scary fucking alien. Like, if you've ever seen one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Vaccine however,
Waters.
Oh, she's so gross. And then she's the one that got on the UN stage, the national platform, and basically told the world that we're dealing with systemic racism in our country. And the world was like, you are? Thanks for telling us. Like, go take care of, like, I thought you guys caught up in 1965.
No, we got people jumping walls to get over to our massive systemic racism. It's crazy. People love it.
Oh, they love it so much. Everybody wants to come in for racism. And I mean, yeah, and wasn't she the one who was saying, like, oh, go harass these people? Talk about
Trump supporters. Yeah,
yeah,
we
just
need to
just
get
go
confrontational.
Harass them wherever they are. You know, that's like literally inciting violence on the street, not just like walking through the Capitol. Like,
yeah, it's
flag.
Only inciting violence if it's the people you want to incite violence against, not, you know.
This is Michael
Knowles did an entire breakdown on that. Words are not violent. Violence, by definition, is acts of harm. Words are not acts, first of all. Secondly, there's been a saying for years, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words may never harm me. For a reason, because they go out into the ether, they're just sound waves, that's it. So if there ever was a call to violence, that would be it. However, she only knows that there are going to be idiots who decide to take it on an action level to a violence level. That's why she said it. If you're stupid enough, I don't care if it's Trump, I don't care if it's Ted Cruz, I don't care if it's Maxine Waters or Camel Toe Harris. If they say something like that and you act it out, you're the fucking idiot.
Yep.
You're the one that is acting out the violence, not the person.
We just talked about this,
it.
Though, is that nobody wants to do the personal responsibility thing anymore.
No.
They would rather be like, it's not my fault because this. It's my I killed this person because Trump said to. The whole thing's played out like that. So nobody wants the personal responsibility. They want to be blaming somebody for everything else. And here we are in 2021. Yay. So who would, in modern days, though, who would Darth Vader be? Is that the capstone of the pyramid? Is that the cabal?
Ooh, who would Darth Vader be? So George Lucas actually said in a few interviews back in like the early 2000s that Darth Vader was like George W. Bush and the Emperor was like Dick Cheney. And if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense because Dick Cheney was really the one running that operation. George W. was just the guy out in front. Do bobbling around.
Do Southern stuff. Charm.
Right.
Habanero.
Right. So, but see, the thing about Darth Vader that kind of gets lost a little bit is Darth Vader was just as much of a useful idiot as the rest of those guys because the Emperor like basically had him controlled like from a child. So like Darth Vader spent his whole life in servitude to the Emperor, really had no free will of his own. And at the end, like the Emperor told Luke, hey, kill this dude and take his place. Like after this dude served him for 30, 40 years. So while Darth Vader, like he looks awesome and stuff, like he really is kind of like a useful idiot at the end of the day. I would not say that to his face. Okay. I love it. Let me say that right now.
To his mask face.
I would not say that to his masked asthma breathing face, but you know, he's kind of an idiot.
He's like the shittier version of Bane.
I'm thinking Obama might be Vader, or is that racist?
Obama could be Vader.
Useful idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also too, you know, like all the conspiracies about Obama, like possibly being like CIA trained and stuff, almost like your kind of Manchurian candidate type of thing. Like same thing with Vader. Like there's like in universe conspiracies that like the Emperor like created him to be born and stuff. So like he basically could have been controlling him the whole time. Same with Obama. If he was being controlled by CIA programming from years and years in the past, that's a good parallel there too.
So who would be our Luke Skywalker though? Like, is that Jesus? Who's going to be that dude that, you know, I don't know what the storyline is completely, but I figure he wins in the end at some point.
Yeah. He's like the good dude who would sacrifice it all for a noble cause. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to think of a person in our world that would actually do that without an ulterior motive.
It's gotta be Jesus.
Well, they made a bunch of movies after episode 6, right? So I didn't see those. I saw the prequels and I saw like 4 through 6 when I was a kid.
Are the movies they made after the fact actually like sequels though, or are they all prequel?
No, they're the, all right, so they did the 80s ones were like 4 through 6, right? And then 1 through 3 they did, well, like late 70s into early 80s,
back when the CGI was amazing.
Back came back out in like 81 or maybe something like that, but Return of the Jedi maybe did, but they came out like early 80s, late 70s, and then the prequels, the first 3 prequels came out in like late 2000s, or I'm sorry, no, early 2000s. Early,
yeah.
The late 90s, early 2000s is what I meant. And then, yeah. And then they came out with later ones that I have never seen. I've never seen those. And then I think they have like a cartoon kind of anime-ish one
that
now
was
that
after
they keep doing.
Disney bought the Lucasfilms.
Yeah. So I've never seen that. But what do you think of those?
Oh, boy. So the Disney ones. It. Yeah. They butchered it a little bit. I mean, they kind of took away from the main story that they told in those original movies, because what they did, they basically went like 30 years into the future. So like Han Solo, Luke, they're all like these old decrepit guys now, right? It's like, let's get the band back together kind of thing. But they botched it a little bit because they brought back the Emperor who supposedly died for some reason, it's really silly. And they literally say a line in the movie, they say, "Well, the Emperor is back somehow." That's a quote from the movie.
Wow. He's back somehow. They did the whole, "We're Disney, we're gonna blow it up. We're gonna sacrifice storyline and writing for CGI effects, wowing characters, comebacks and stuff." Because I've seen a lot of newer ones. Right. I've seen a lot of the new ones. That's The Mandalorian, right?
Mm-hmm. I was gonna bring that one up next, yeah.
So they came out with 4, 5, and 6 for the purpose of doing a 6-film thing. And the idea was tell the story the way that you want the zenith to play out in the first 3 movies, 4, 5, and 6, and then tell the story of how that came to be later on when they, you know, 20 years later or so when they did 1, 2, and 3. Well, then I think it was in 2012 when they came out with episode 7, something like that.
2015, but yeah, that's when Disney bought them in 2012. So they started that production process.
So they started episode 7, the continuation of now what was the last 19 early 80s movie of episode 6. And they started number 7, they did 7, 8, and 9. And then they came out with The Mandalorian. Did they end up doing a 10, 11, 12? They haven't done that, right?
No. And I don't know that they're going to go in that direction.
Well, they kind of fucked it up.
They did fuck it up. And what Disney did, just being the corporation they are, I mean, they spent $4 billion or something. So they wanted to churn and burn that profit real quick. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, there was a Star Wars movie that came out every year for 5 years in a row. So they had like
selling the brand.
They had episode 7. Then they had this offshoot movie called Rogue One, which is actually really good.
The one I saw that I actually didn't mind.
That one was really good because I think the story was really great. And so then they came out with episode 8. So, but the problem was, like we talked about the timeline with the other ones, George Lucas, he had 3 years between all of his movies that he made. For the sequel movies, it was only 2 years, but you also had other movies in between there. So the timeline was so compressed that the movies were like falling over themselves in the pre-production process. Like they were doing pre-production for episode 8 before episode 7 was even out. So they fucked themselves over from that, even knowing like, how's this even going to turn out? You know, are people going to like this? Did we do something in episode 8 that's going to be completely different? Yeah. And that's what they fucking did. Right. And they just, it was a churn and burn type situation. They had a lot of directors fired. They had a lot of writers fired that weren't playing ball. So I'm hoping in like 10, 20 years, we get like an unofficial, like behind the scenes story of what really happened, because they botched this whole fucking thing. I mean, I think the story was pretty good. I mean, I like Star Wars, so I liked it because it's Star Wars, right. But it was just not a cohesive story. Like even with all the issues with the prequels, it was at least a one cohesive vision, you know, from Lucas.
Right. Yeah. He had the story play, and then he had the prequel. It was kind of like the first three underworlds. You had the first one, you had the continuation, and then you had the prequel. And those first three is where they should have ended it, because everybody wanted to know about Lucien. So they came out with a prequel after the sequel, and it made it a great trilogy. Then they continued it on, and they fucked it up, just like they're doing with Resident Evil and a bunch of other cash cows. And speaking of, you know, obviously James Cameron's Avatar, right? Mm-hmm. So I have.
He's a nerd. Of course he does. It's a great movie.
Right. I have the.
I have never seen it.
You need to watch it. It's a great one.
I was just pissed because when it came out, it unseated Star Wars as like the top movie. So I just.
Oh yeah.
I had a bone to pick with them.
It was.
I just
movie.
Saw it because I liked 3D movies, and I'm like, that looks like it would be cool to get baked to and watch in 3D, and it was. I don't remember a goddamn thing about it. I just remember it was a cool experience being super stoned. So.
It was a great film. It was the top seller gross overall, both at the box office weekend, which is one of the ratings, and then overall time. And then Deadpool beat it out, and they not only beat it out, but Deadpool beat it out with one of the lowest superhero film budgets that they had ever seen, until Infinity War and Endgame, which are now number one and two in the box office. But I was going to show you this. If you've never seen Avatar 2009, I suggest watching it. Now, what a lot of people don't know is that if they have an entire plan for Avatar from James Cameron, they have 2022, 2024, 2026, 2028 Avatars 2 through 5 all listed on IMDb. If you look up Avatar, they have all 5 of them listed, and they have this entire 2-year turnaround plan for the next 4 movies starting in 2022. I'm like, great. So you're going to get another great idea, and you're going to ruin it.
So Hollywood knows we're going to make it past 2025. Awesome. That's actually good to know.
Well, the remnant. Whoever survives cool. after that, yeah. We still got to sell movies.
I'll look forward to Avatar in 2028, please.
It's going to be a player one situation, I'm telling you.
I mean, I blame the Transformers franchise, because they realize that they can just put out shit movies and people will go. They'll at least make their money back in a little bit.
One after another.
Yeah.
I loved
when they introduced Mark Wahlberg. I did, man. I hated Shia LaBeouf. I hated Megan Fox, but I liked the storyline. I liked what they did with it. I really enjoyed the Bumblebee movie, because I liked the take on, you know, one of the most beloved sidekicks. I think, what was it? The Last Night? I think that's the fifth installment. Maybe the fourth. Anyway, that was probably one of my favorites. I think that it was way too fucking long. It was like 3.5 hours, but it was really good. I liked it.
Shia LaBeouf, like, just he has to ruin franchises. Like,
he does.
They put him in that new Indiana Jones movie, and it was garbage. And he was in the Transformers, it was garbage. What is he doing? Quit.
I think he might be one of those MK Ultra or like Project or Operation Butterfly, whatever the fuck that, you know, like, there's something weird with that dude. Did you see him like have his weird like art thing he did? And there,
yeah.
He's a weird fucking dude, and that's fine. Be weird. Just stay off the camera, please.
He's also an asshole. He got arrested several times. Mark Wahlberg is too. Mark Wahlberg has felonies, can't own guns, and used to run down the street calling black people the N-word and saying he was going to beat them up. But
holy
at the same time, yeah.
Is that just what you heard on the news, though? Because come on.
He's written about it. They made a big old thing about him not being able to own guns for felony charges, which had to do with racial interactions, because he was going to gun ranges to actually learn guns for the movie Shooter that he did in 2008. And they were like, aren't you not supposed to be around guns? And he's like, fuck you. I'm not allowed to own them. I can go shoot them. He's made other comments as he's gotten older that I really like, not to mention I love Daddy's Home franchise with Will Ferrell.
Where are you going with this, bro?
I got it. Shia LaBeouf, when they did the movie Fury, he does this thing where he gets purposely in character for the time that they're filming, but he always takes it a little too far. So Fury has Brad Pitt. It has the guy, I forget his name, the really funny kind of gnarly dude that played the Punisher series. What's his name? Anyway, it has quite a few really famous actors in it, and Shia LaBeouf is one of them. They said that by the last week that they were on set with Shia LaBeouf, he hadn't showered since they started filming, so that he could be in character as to what it would be like for months at a time in a tank and be all kind of like dirty and stuff. And they said that by the time it was done, Brad Pitt and a few of the other guys were like, bro, you need to go shower and then throw dirt on your face to look dirty. You're supposed to look dirty. They can't smell you through the TV.
They can't, but we can.
Just getting into character. Come on, give him a break.
You've never been an actor. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, it is fucking weird. No. I'm just kidding.
Well, Jim Carrey's just as fucking weird, though. I mean,
absolutely. He's
the
off
probably smells are better, though. Fucking weird, though. They're like, I have to be it. And it's like,
have you seen his art collection? Jesus.
Don't ruin Jim Carrey for me. He smells like petunias, okay? I love that dude.
And lavender.
Oh, there might be shit growing in his beard at this point, but
yeah, I was gonna say, does he have the beard? Does he not have the beard? It's like you never know.
I don't know. Every time I see him, it's either long or gone. I'm like, what do you? Yeah. How's that happening?
So, do you have any more crazy Star Wars conspiracies? Because I want
to
hear.
I was just gonna say because how long do you expect this podcast to go? Like, how much more shit can you pull out of Star Wars? Are you like branching off into other weird conspiracies?
It's okay if you are too, but I want to hear about Star Wars.
There's so much in there. Like, so there's this website called Wikipedia, which is like the Star Wars Wikipedia that like it dives into like everything that's happened in all the books and all that stuff, and like I find just random shit in there all the time that like, I had no idea about, because there's I've read like, you know, 7 of the books and there's like 3 million of them. So there's all these different crazy things going on. One really interesting thing that I've been looking at a lot is you guys, you're familiar with like the HAARP stuff up in Alaska.
Oh, yeah. We just talked about that with Matt Landman last night. Yeah.
Not at all.
Oh, did you? Okay. So in Star Wars, they have something kind of similar to that kind of a program where you have like this kind of, you know, global environmental kind of fuckery going on with the climates and stuff. So, and this was something it was in like the Battlefront Star Wars video game, which I hadn't played yet, but there was this thing called Operation Cinder, which they talk about a little bit in The Mandalorian. What it was after the Emperor died and Return of the Jedi, he supposedly had like this contingency plan where he wanted to basically burn down the remaining empire except a few people and have them kind of rebuild the empire in like a new place and be a new thing. Like basically like a great reset kind of thing. He wanted to impose like a great reset on the universe.
Schwab.
He's like basically Klaus Schwab. I mean, look at the Emperor, look at Klaus Schwab. It's like the same person. Gross, ugly, old,
creepy.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Creepy.
German.
So he enacted this plan on all these planets controlled by the Empire, where he had all these satellites in space that would just beam down like fires, basically. He would just be from space, he was beaming down fires onto all these planets. He's Elon Musk, he's Klaus Schwab. Even after death. So he was basically burning down all these planets with the goal of, you know, for one, protecting any secrets they had, but for two, you know, he had handpicked a bunch of people that, you know, were really loyal to him. And he basically told them beforehand, like, hey, listen, if anything happens to me, basically go out, you know, way far away on another planet and start to rebuild this thing. And we'll figure something out. So, which is what ends up happening in the sequel trilogy, is this kind of new empire rises from the dust of the old one. But they call it the First Order, which is, you know, very much like, you know, New World Order kind of stuff. So
they didn't even try to hide that one. That's pretty on the nose.
No. And even like, you know, talking about, you know, symbolism and stuff, look at the logo of the Empire and look at the logo of the First Order. It's like this black and red, you know, going back to like that Wolfenstein shirt you're talking about, it probably had that coloring, right? Like a black and a white and a red, which instantly gives you like that Nazi vibe, you know, and their logos look very, very similar. you even see them in the sequel trilogy. They have like those like rectangular flags hanging down, like you would see like behind Hitler at all his conferences and shit.
Oh yeah,
it's crazy. But like, so the whole concept of that First Order rising out of that is a lot like what people talk about. And I know you guys have talked a lot to Charlie Robinson in the past. He came on my show to talk about the whole, you know, Fourth Reich, Fourth Industrial Revolution.
Oh, he's the best.
Oh, dude, he is like the Yoda of this stuff to me. Like, I've learned so much from listening to his content.
I'm going to make a meme. I'm going to Photoshop him as Yoda. He's going to love it.
please do it. I got to see that.
Sorry, Charlie.
So the idea of like, you know, Nazi Germany didn't really die out, like the ideology survived into America and into other places. Same thing with the empire. The empire died, but the ideology still survived. And years later, you start to see it manifesting itself in different ways. So that's one of the my favorite conspiracies. It's kind of a few things, right? It's the climate, the fuckery kind of stuff, and then also the re-rise of like a Nazi totalitarian government.
Oh, it's so scary. I definitely feel like that's coming, and they're slowly just giving us these little breadcrumbs to just adapt to and think are super normal. Like,
yeah,
lockdowns or climate change is so bad, but it's not. It's not. We're not doing it. The government's not doing it. It's just climate, right? It's just happening.
It's us. If we would stop driving, stop driving like 20 more miles a day. Like just stop. We are doing. Like, it's so funny. Like, I was at work the other day and I look out in the distance. I see a factory with like a billowing like smokestack. I'm like, yeah, but me and my Ford Fusion is the problem.
Right. No, they have it all backwards. Every single thing is a conspiracy to me. I'm kind of the worst. Like, I can't look at anything and believe it anymore. Every single thing I'm dissecting, like, oh, that's fake. Everything I hear, I'm like, oh, fake. Everything's fake news. Everything, even fake news is fake news. Like, everything. I don't care unless I see it for myself. And then I'm even like, wait, if we're in a simulation, that might not be real either. So who fucking knows?
Do you have that same thing with like TVs and movies and stuff now? Because like I can't help but see some of that stuff in all these shows now.
Oh, it's all over the place. Yes, it's crazy.
That's why we watch like sci-fi shows that came out a while ago. Not a while ago, but a few years ago. Nothing new. The newest shows have so much.
It's so much woke tard shit. It's like,
especially like the Blumhouse film stuff. I was really excited for those. I don't know if you've ever watched those.
They're like some horror movies
and
stuff.
Black Mirror a little bit. I loved Black Mirror when it first came out, but it's very predictive programming for like, hey, this is what's going to happen and it's going to be great. You're going to love this.
You're going to love the social credit score. Five stars for everybody.
Right? And everyone who watched it said that's so scary and it's literally being done in China and could possibly be done here.
China.
Yeah. And I swear all the Netflix shows, I mean, I saw a great meme of it the other day. It was like, you know, somebody like shoving something down somebody's throat. It was like Netflix, an unnecessary gay character, is like shoving it down the audience's throat, because every single show just has to have an unnecessary gay or trans or something character. It has nothing to do with the story whatsoever, but it's just part of their checklist. Like, so like this one show I was watching, like, of course they brought that in there. The second season, third season, they had to throw in some comments about climate change. What's next? You know, like,
well,
BLM
they ruined
is probably
a lot
next.
Of shows that way in 2020. They took the summer off, and as the fall shows came back in, they had rewritten a shitload of where they planned on taking these shows and incorporated Corona and racism and all of this garbage that came in. The Call of Duty that came out last year in November. I just played it recently, and this is the first Call of Duty that in the campaign you can actually make your character, and they give you the ability to be male, female, or non-binary as an actual option in Call of Duty. I'm like, dude,
what does that character
look
like?
Wait, so non-binary, do you get to be something cool like an alien or like a bear or like something that does?
No, you're still a human. You just they okay. So the way they did it is that throughout the game, depending on the sex to which you make your character out, which I've played the campaign twice. I did one guy, I did a girl, and there's multiple endings. So I wanted to try to find these different endings. And basically what they did was I clicked on non-binary and made my third story just to find out what the third ending was like. And what they've done is they've changed the writing so that when the NPCs are talking to you, they refer to you as they and them.
or
of course they do.
I'm like, you fucking idiot.
So
if you look back at the history of it, they have kept the history intact. So if you go back to the early 80s, before it got bought and they did Wolfenstein 3D, the platform for Doom and Duke Nukem and all of the 90s first-person shooters when it was revolutionary, it's incredible because they've actually kept the storyline since the 80s when you were nothing more than a 2D pixel and one of the first stealth games to get out. Wolfenstein and Return to Castle Wolfenstein, the originals in the 80s. Well, so then Wolfenstein 3D comes out, Windows 95 platform, and then they do a couple of add-ons to it. And then jump forward to 2001, they release Return to Castle Wolfenstein, which was, again, a major platform from a small company which literally influenced the Battlefield franchise, Medal of Honor, Call of Duty, influenced all of them into what they are today. Well, they have this... then they did the 2009 version, just called Wolfenstein 2009, which takes you directly after the 2001 game. Well, the problem was Raven Software at the time was a no-name company who took over the franchise. And as a result of licensing buyouts and agreements between Raven in 2009 and Bethesda, who bought it for the new franchise, that game is no longer legal to obtain a brand new copy of because nobody's allowed to sell it because nobody owns the rights to that game anymore. The 2001 and 2009 version are definitely my favorites. The 2009 version is a much more darker, kind of lonelier. It has way more to do with the occult in World War II. And then what they did was when Bethesda bought it and they came out with The New Order, which, by the way, last year I tried to buy a mask that shows a Nazi on a red mask and it says The New Order, and I thought it was kind of cliche, but that ended up not coming in from the slow boat on China. So after Bethesda bought it and they came out with The New Order, and The New Order and the subsequent prequel, which was called The Old Blood, it was kind of a spinoff, but it was technically part of the series. Those two games are really good. So The New Order takes it from the ending of World War II. And the cool part is that all of these people had different manufacturers. They were all completely independent, different people that bought it until Bethesda's big name bought it. But they incorporated all of this lore in just the standalone first-person shooter games to build the narrative. Then what they did is they jumped forward 14 years. And then from there, they launch it even further forward to where it's the idea, kind of like Man in the High Castle, where if the Nazis won World War II, and there's certain decisions and things that you got to make throughout it. They did little tiny things of like the 2009 version. A lot of people ripped on it because it was they did the Call of Duty thing without the actual health bar. They did the regenerative health. And then they went back in Bethesda and they made it into where it's actually dwindling health, that you have to eat the food and stuff like that in the original. But they kind of ruined it, and we're waiting to see if they close out the actual trilogy. So they've made four games. They did The New Order. They did the prequel called The Old Blood, which was a very awesome hat tip to people that were a fan of the 2001 Return to Castle Wolfenstein. And then they made the direct sequel, which was called The New Colossus. And that's where this Nazi regime in the future comes to America. Well, then they did Youngblood. Youngblood is 18 years after the ending of The New Colossus, and they kind of ruined it. I was really excited about it. I had my friend buy it. We played the entire campaign because it was the first campaign that was co-op. It followed all the lore correctly, but then they left it. They just left it. They did no DLCs. There was no closure at the end of the story. And so people are kind of thinking that the trilogy ending is going to be sometime in between those years. And they're hoping that it's a real banger and they can kind of close it out. Because if Bethesda leaves it on that note, it's not going to probably be resurrected again.
Right. I'm looking at this here. What's this? I pulled up some of the history here. What's this Cyber Pilot? What the hell is that game? Is that a Wolfenstein Cyber Pilot 2019?
Cyber Pilot is the VR version of Youngblood.
Okay.
And it's cool because it is co-op. So a lot of the VR games, you can actually link up and actually play a co-op campaign with somebody else who also has a VR system. And from what I understand, it was okay. But much like the earlier, me and Joe were talking about it earlier, the Skyrim VR, it's kind of hard when you have rather than a 90 to 180 degree angle, and your feet are basically planted in the forward direction, it's kind of hard to do a whole 360 open world or multiple level 360 degree VR system like that. It doesn't pan out real well.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be tough.
Anyway, tangent. Did you guys figure the audio?
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I guess so then. We're going to have to lean in here. All right, well, we should probably wrap this up because this is weird.
I'm sorry. No, I don't want
to. Oh, no, you're good. You're good. No problem.
We'll have you back on again soon. We're booked to like early August or something, but we always do like weird Sunday shows and shit.
And weird middle of the week shows. And we have to have a better show with you because you have so much awesome info. And we're like, oh, sorry.
The coolest thing is I'm on vacation next week, so I'll be able to actually like sit down for an extended period and try to figure all this shit out because it's a lot. It was more than I thought it was going to be.
What you could do is just like when it all cut out, just have like some static and then like it's like. Darth Vader, like there's a disturbance in the force or something funny to take away from the effed up part that it didn't work right.
No, I just warn people ahead of time. I'm like, this show sucks. You don't have to listen to it.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Like, we're have audio awful. Issues. No, whatever. Hey, so have you ever heard the song Fetz Vet by MC Chris?
I love that fucking song.
I do too.
Great song. Yeah.
It's so fucking awesome.
My backpack's got jet.
Yeah. I'm Boba the Fett. Hey, so maybe we can bring you in with that song. That would be really cool. It's such a good fucking. MC Chris is from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Are we
going to
get a copyright strike for that?
I don't know. I don't think so. MC Chris is pretty fucking cool.
I'm pretty sure if he made that music video, he probably doesn't give a fuck. Where it's used.
I don't know if there's a video. I haven't seen a video if there is one. I've just heard.
I think there's something. I don't know if it's an official video or something, but yeah, he's a pretty good in the huge nerdcore rap genre that everybody's in.
So funny.
Right?
Yeah.
There's like seven people in that genre.
Right? But everyone knows the Aqua Teen Hunger Force rap songs when he's like the spider and the cow. He's like a gangster rapper every time. Like, do you know that? Do you ever watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
I did. And he also, do you ever see a show called C-Lab 2021? It came out around the same time as that. It was like on Adult Swim, but it was like that same kind of like, well, okay, so the show, there's a show came out in the 60s called C-Lab 2020, which was like a Hanna-Barbera one, like in like the Yogi Bear era, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was about these people on an underwater like research facility, like just a normal kind of action adventure show, but they redid it in like the late 90s and redubbed like the most ridiculous like lines and stuff into it. And he's actually
awesome.
One of the, you got to look it up, but they're probably all on YouTube.
They just
cut all that old footage and just recut it around and added voices and stuff to it. It's so fucking funny. But yeah, he is one of the voices on there too.
He's the best. He's super funny. So, yeah, we will definitely look that up. And I'm going to make you listen to that song. And you too, Ben, because it's fucking good.
Yeah.
What's it called? Fetz what?
It's called Fetz Vet. Like, but Vet's like V-E-T-T-E. It's like his Corvette. Like, it's his, like, spaceship that he's driving around.
Right. Because
he's trying to pay it off because he's like.
Yeah. Like, he made all this money doing
he's like a hitman for a Jabba the Hutt. Yeah. And he's trying to pay it off. But he's good. All right, forget it. Sorry.
No, I'll totally listen to it. I've been stuck on this dude that got famous on TikTok last year called Jairus Johnson, and I hate TikTok. I can't stand TikTok, but he makes really good music. And if you like nerd shit, all of his stuff has to do with like fantasy. He references Game of Thrones, Dragonborn from Skyrim. He's got a song called My Sword, and it's fucking brilliant.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I can see where that's going to go, but I will listen.
All right, dude, we'll let you go. We'll schedule you in again when I can figure some shit out.
Thank you
so
much.
Stupid.
All right. No, sounds good. No, I had a great
Thanks
time.
For coming
I had a great
on,
time
man.
Regardless. All right, guys.
Okay.
It's always fun. It's just not as fun for the listeners because they have to deal with us. But,
that's fine.
All right, man.
Thank
have a good
you.
Night.
Have
Talk
a
to
you
later.
Too.
All right, bye.
Talk later.